We're on the Mishnah here on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We're talking about a Shor Hamuad that was Nogeach three times, and the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, Vim Shor Nagachu Mitmol Shilshom Vahuad Bibolov, it was Nogeach three times. The Gemara Yevamos establishes that according to Rebbe, two times is enough to make a Muad. And the question is, does Rebbe really hold that way or not? That's a machlokas rishonim, but it would seem, pashtus from the sugya in Yevamos, that according to Rebbe, you don't need three negichas, but two negichas are sufficient. In any event, our mission and our sugya is going to assume that you need three negichos in order to make the shor into a muad. Shor shu muad lemino. But what if the shor is nogeach three times shvarim? That means b'nei mino, the same species, the same type of animal. But v'eino muad l'she'eino mino. And here's the girsa problem. We don't know whether it should say v'eino muad or eino muad. If it's v'eino muad, it's just describing a reality. If it's eino muad, then it's halacha, eino muad. Shor is muad for mino, but it's eino muad l'sheino mino. Now, if it's describing a reality, vi eino muad l'sheino mino, then what it means is that it sees animals of other minim, of other species, a gamal, or perhaps a chai of a different sort, and it was docile. It was not belligerent. That establishes it as eino muad le'eino mino. So that depends upon the girsa here with regard to the vav. And what we want to point out here is the next line in the Mishnah. Very important line. Muad li'adam is ve'eino muad lebehema. So it's nogeach, a person, a human being, three times. Now, if it was a killer shor, then the law is that shor tam, even on the first occasion that it kills a person, is put to death by stoning. That's the din of skila. The only difference is that since only a shor tam, the bailim don't have to pay kofar. If it would be a shor muad shehemis adam, and we'll see about a metzias in that case, then the bailim have to pay kofar. And the shor, of course, is niskal. What would be the case that it is a shor muad that was nogeach and memis three times? After all, we put it to death after the first time it kills a person. And the answer is, says Rashi, it's back in the beginning of the Masechta on Beis Amid Beis, if there was no Hamada Bedin until after the third Negicha. So we really didn't get a chance yet to put the Shor to death until finally we had three Negichas, and then the owner of the Shor has to pay kofar in addition to putting the Shor to rest. So we have here a Shor that's Muad Li Adam. And the Mishnah says, "V'eino muad lebehema." It means that we see Adam and Behema as two separate entities, two separate categories. And the muadis le'adam does not automatically generate a muadis lebehema. You could have a case, and that's perhaps a more frequent common case of an animal, a shor, that's muad sili adam and sili behema. And then you have to know if there was chazor from one of the two, how does that affect the other? Then the Mishnah writes, muad liktanim v'eino eno muad ligdolim. Now, we have something called an egel, which is a young shor, a calf. And Rabbi Meir in Rosh Hashanah tells us that whenever it says Egel in the Torah, it means Ben Shana. It means it's in the first year of its life. So if we identify the word Ketanim here with Agolim, with an Egel, then we're assuming the animal is less than 1 year old. So you have this shor that attacks an Egel, and it does so on three consecutive occasions. And the Mishnah says that doesn't mean it's a muad l'gedolim. When it sees a shor, a more mature animal, and it doesn't react belligerently to attack that shor. I mean, the Mishnah seems to be telling us something that's intuitively correct. We would not assume that since it attacks smaller animals, it would attack larger animals. But we'll see exactly what the Chiddush of our Mishnah is later in the Sugya. Now, the Mishnah gives us sort of a general rule that applies to all that we've seen until now. Eshu mu'ud lo mishalim nezik sholem, v'es she'ena mu'ud lo mishalim chatzi nezik. Meaning, until this last line, the Mishnah was just formulating the abstract definition of the shor and the scope of its mu'adus. And then afkemina, the Mishnah says, halacha l'maaseh is whether you pay chatzi nezek or nezek shalem. Amru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. Now the way Rashi interprets this, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda, harei zeh, this particular shor has proven itself mu'ad l'shabosos. On three Shabbosos consecutively, the shor became a shor mu'ad. Something about Shabbos that doesn't agree with this shor is now, what's the next part of the Mishnah? When it says, the eno mu'ad l'chol, is that a description of the behavior of the animal on chol, or is that the essence of their question? Is it mu'ad l'chol or is it not mu'ad l'chol? In any event, Rashi seems to imply here that the reason why the shor gets angry and belligerent on Shabbos is because it has nothing better to do. It's batel mimalacha. If that would be the case, then perhaps according to Rashi, if you had a shor that was batel mimalacha during the week and it was nogeach, that would be the same status as Shabbos. The difference is not, according to Rashi, between Shabbos and Chol, as much as it is between a day in which the animal works and a day in which it does not work. Tosus, on the other hand, the name of the Yushalmi, writes that the shor doesn't recognize people on Shabbos because people are wearing Big Day Shabbos, and therefore that incurs the anger of the shor because the shor is uncomfortable not recognizing familiar faces. Again, according to Rashi, it would seem that the difference would not be between being nogeach and odom or behema. In both cases, since the animal is batel, we understand that it's Shabbos as far as negicha is concerned, and that includes both odom and behema. According to Shalmi, on the other hand, the unique mu'adis of Shabbos is a result of odom. And we don't expect, therefore, on Shabbos, despite the fact that the shor is batel mimalacha, that it would become mu'ad l'behema. And therefore, if you have an animal that's mu'ad on Shabbos l'behemos, it should be, according to Shalmi, mu'ad l'behemos even on chol. There's a famous story of the Rogatchova that a woman was nursing her baby back in the day that was critical, and the baby stopped nursing, and the woman was at wit's end, she couldn't get the baby to nurse, the question came in front of the Rogachava, why? And the Rogachava, with his chachma, he said, were you wearing different clothing? And maybe the baby, like a shor, doesn't recognize when you change the clothing. And sure enough, she went back to her old dress, and the baby started nursing again. Be that as it may, what was Rabbi Yehuda's response to the Talmidim? Omalemi said in Achinami, L'Shabbosos, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's a Mu'adu Mishalim Nezik Sholem, but L'Negichas Imos HaChol Mishalim Chatzin Nezik. It remains a short time, as far as a Negicha, on a weekday is concerned. Now, the Talmidim did not ask him the reverse case. What happens in the case of a shor that's nogeach during weekdays, and it's not nogeach on Shabbos? Would such a shor be considered mu'ud for Shabbosos as well, for negicha Shabbos? But putting that issue on the side, I'd rather raise, in the short amount of time that we have, a more fundamental issue. When the Talmidim were wondering about this shor that's nogeach on Shabbosos, would it be a nagchon, a mu'ud, even as far as negichas chol is concerned? We could go a step further, and this is based on Muki Yosef, and we might present the following thesis, that the Talmidim thought that perhaps, even as far as Shabbosos, despite the fact that the shor was nogeach three Shabbosos in a row, the shor nevertheless does not take on the status of Mu'ad l'Shabbos, because between one Shabbos and the next, they had 6 days of chol in which the shor was docile, and it wasn't nogeach during the Imos HaChol. That itself might set up a din of chazora. And we had already back on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis that a muad that sees shvarim 3 days in a row and is not nogeach goes back to its original state of tamus. And perhaps that's why this question was addressed to Rabbi Yehuda, because it was Rabbi Yehuda who was of the opinion that 3 days of non-negicha, of passivity, that's what creates chazara. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, back on Chav Gimel, was of the opinion that even if the shor sees tinokos that would provoke him and it doesn't attack them, that itself is chazara. But that's a whole different question here. The Talmidim were worried about the dilug of 6 days. Would that itself become a chazara? And the other way of saying it is to say no, dilug would not be a chazara because we have something called a mu'ad l'seirigin, which we didn't discuss yet, but that's going to come up. And that's exactly what happens when the 6 days goes by and the seventh day comes and the shor is nogeach again, and that pattern repeats itself. That becomes mu'ad l'seirigin. It's not clear whether or not in the mind of the Talmidim when they raise this question, the Havamina was that this shor is not even mu'ad as far as Shabbos is concerned. Now the Mishnah completes itself. The Emasai hu tam. Now we're talking about a shor mu'ad being chozer lios tam. Mishiyatzebo sholosh yimei Shabbosos. On three Shabbosos, it was docile, it was passive. And as a result, that's called chazara. Now, the Mishnah back on Chav Gimel, as we just mentioned, already established the name Rabbi Yehuda, that a shor has chazara and becomes a tam once again, if it was Chozer on 3 days? Why did Rabbi Yehuda have to repeat himself here? We've already established this. And the answer is that, as Tosa says, Dibra Maschil Mishayachzor, that in the case of Hamu'ud L'Shabbosos, there was a Havamin to say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would not need Chazora 3 times on 3 different days. Maybe this Mu'adus is of a different nature. It's not a full-fledged Mu'ad. Tosus adds that Rabbi Yehuda had to teach us that you need 3 Shabbosos dafka, and it's not enough that the Shor was not Nogeach 3 days of Chol. That would not be a Chazorah, as Rashi said before in his logic. Shabbos is unique in the fact that the Shor is Batel Mimalacha. If you had a day of Chol where the Shor was Batel Mimalacha, would that itself be Chazorah? And here we have a Chiddush in the Rishonim, you'll find in Shita Mekubetzes and others, that Chazorah B'Yimei HaChol, even if the animal was Batel Mimalacha, would not be a Chazorah. Once we establish Mu'adis on Shabbosos, Rabbi Yehuda establishes in our Mishnah, we need Chazor on Shol Shabbosos. A Chazor on Chol will not suffice, even if those days of Chol were similar to Shabbos, insofar as the animal was brought to Mimalach on those days of Chol. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, back on Chav Gimel, Chazorah requires the Mishmush of Tinokos, where the animal did not respond to the provocation of these young children. And we could assume here also, on those 3 Shabbosos, we're going to require, according to Rabbi Meir, Mishmush of Tinokos. The Tosi Shonim raises the following Tmiya. He says that Rabbi Meir was coming to add to Rabbi Yehuda a kind of substitute method of Chazorah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda requires a Chazorah Shloshi Yomim Shlo Nogach, Rabbi Meir insisted that in the case of Mishmush Tinokos, there's Chazorah even on 1 day. And certainly Rabbi Meir would agree that 3 days of Chazorah without Negicha, even without the Tinokos, would certainly be effective as far as Chazor is concerned. Rabbi Meir didn't undermine what Rabbi Yehuda established, but rather added to what Rabbi Yehuda, a second alternative method. And therefore the Tosis Yontif doesn't understand why the Muki Yosef here insists that we pass like Rabbi Meir, and therefore it's not enough that the Shor was Chozer on 3 days, but we need also a Mishmush of Tinokos. So if the Nemuki Yosef is adding to our requirement that Chazorah consists of Shlosha Yimei Shabbosos Shlo Nogach, he's adding to that, and you've got to have as well Shlosha Mishmushim of Tinokos, because we pass like Rabbi Meir, that's odd. Rabbi Meir doesn't require Shlosha Shabbosos, meaning Shlosha Yomim. He would, from his perspective, it would be sufficient to create Chazorah through Mishmush 3 times with Tinokos on 1 day. Besides which, why is the Muki Yosef adding another precondition to Chazorah, assuming that Rabbi Meir requires both A plus B? It would seem, says the Tos Yontif, that Rabbi Meir is A or B, but not plus B. And there are 2 ways that this Shor could be Chozer. Number one, 3 Shabbosos without being Nogeach, and that's Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Meir agrees. And Rabbi Meir is adding a second method, and that is 3 Mishmushim of Tinokos, even on the same day. And I would assume that same day would have to be Shabbos, because we're talking about a Mu'ad L'Shabbosos. Let's begin the Gemara. Itmar, Rav Zvid Omar v'eino Mu'ad Tanan, Rav Papa Omar, eino Mu'ad Tanan. As we indicated earlier, there are two possible girsos here, with the vav of ve'eno muad, or without the vav of eno muad. And now the Gemara analyzes it. What's in this vav? Rav Zvid Omar ve'eno muad tnan. It means that the Mishnah is describing the case, not paskening. The psak and the hora will come at the end of the Mishnah, or at least at the end of the resha of the Mishnah. And v'eino muad means that if the shor was nogeach three shvarim, and on three occasions it saw a different min, another species, let's call it a gamal, then the Mishnah is going to paskin that it only pays nezek shalim for mino, but not for she'eno mino, hastoma. But if we have no proof that the shor is not nogeach min acher, pardon the double negative, in other words, if, let's say it in the positive way, there were other minim around, but the shor never encountered those other minim, then the assumption is that if the shor was nogeach three times its own min, then on the first occasion that it's nogeach a different min, it is already a shor muad. And that's what he says here, hastama havi muad. Until we know otherwise, until there's proof to the contrary, the assumption, the premise is that a muad for one min is a muad for every min. When do we establish that it's mu'ud for min A, but it's not mu'ud for min B? That's when we have a hochacha, says Rav Zvid. The animal was exposed to another min, and lo and behold, it was passive. Rav Papa Amar, eino mu'ud tanan. Eino mu'ud means that's the psak of the Mishnah. That since it was a mu'ud to one min, there's no reason to assume that it would be a mu'ud to another min. Whereas Rav Zvid assumes there's no reason to assume that it's only mu'ud to one min, unless you have proof positive. Rav Papa says, no, the burden of proof is on you to establish that it's mu'ud to another min. Stoma lo avi mu'ud, unless we know otherwise, in the absence of any knowledge, faker to the opposite conclusion, we assume, if it didn't see any other minim, it's not a mu'ud, or I should say, even if it didn't see any other minim, it's not a mu'ud for the other minim. The shor has only established itself as a mu'ud lemino. It's almost as if Rav Zvid sees a chalushem mu'ud after three negichos that is kolel anything. It's just a chalushem on the shor. The shor is a shor mu'ud. That means it's mu'ud for everything. That's the way Rav Zvid has it. Now, again, it's mu'ud for everything until we know otherwise. If it sees other minim, and it's not nogeach, then it proves itself to be a limited kind of chal shem mu'ud, which is called a mu'ud lemino. Now, there's one side in the Pnei Yoshua, he vacillates on this point, that according to Rav Zvid, in order for the shor to be an eno muad, meaning a tam, for eno mino, it's got to see on three occasions an eno mino and remain passive. It sounds like the Pnei Yoshua is assuming our definition to the extreme, that the shem muad this wants to establish is kolel. From Rav Zvid's perspective, everything, that's the nature of the animal. It's a beast that is a mu'ud, and that's it. There is a din of chazara, that it was chozerbo, but it was only chozerbo from other minim. So, like the halacha of eno mino, according to Rav Zvid, in one side of the Pnei Yeshua, is halacha of chazara. It only on the level of chazara to be mafkia, the shame mu'ud, or in this case, I should say, to limit the shem muad, that's where the halach of eno mino kicks in. Not so according to Rav Papa. Rav Papa assumes that Muadus has to be established for each min. And in a stomach case, even though the animal was muad for one min, if it did not see a different min, it's not muad for the other min. It's only muad for that min that it was nogeach three times. That's according to Rav Papa. He has eno muad tanan, which is a description of what this animal has already... Excuse me. It's a not a description the way Rav Zvid has it, but rather a psak. Eno muad, that's exactly what the Mishnah is telling you, that it's an eno muad, as far as other minim is concerned, even though we're in a stomach situation. And the Rosh Hashanah says that perhaps Rav Papa did not really change the gears in the Mishnah and omit the Vav. He's not comfortable with that. But that's how he interprets the Mishnah. That when the Mishnah says V'eino Muad, it doesn't mean that there was a Hochacha that it's an Eino Muad. It was proof positive because it was exposed to other Minim and it wasn't Nogeach. And that's Rav Zvid's interpretation, but rather, according to Rav Papa, what Vieno Mino means is that we never saw any Muadus or non-Muadus, any relationship to other Minim, and they have a Mistama until we prove that it is in a proof positive that it's a Muad to other Minim, it doesn't become a Muad for other Minim, it's only Muad for its own Min, that it was Nogeah three times, and you pay Chatzi Nezek. It could be that what the Rosh Hashanah has in mind here is that Rav Papa is operating within or based upon a certain psychological premise that if the animal, it's not coincidental that the animal attacked it, the same min three times, above and beyond the fact that that's all the animal was exposed to, but it might mean that within its own min it gets belligerent. It's not, you know, belligerent towards other minim. Like, you have certain animals that could be very ferocious, but they don't start up with human beings as a rule, unless you provoke them. And the premise, the interpretation of the Rosh Hashanah and Rav Papa is that the words v'eino muad is not indicative of the Siyum Adin, but it's all part of the Hemshech Hamaisa, that this Shor was Muad Lemino, and the Mishnah is telling Mistama, it's not going to be Muad for Eino Mino. The Psak Din is going to come at the end of the Reisha, like Rav Zvid says it. In any event, the Rosh Hashanah calculates all sorts of benefits that he gets from his reinterpretation of Papa. The simple reading of the text of the Gemara seems to indicate that Rav Papa had a different girsa. He took out the Vav. Now the Gemara explains how each of these shitos respectively read the Mishnah and came to their conclusions. Rav Zvid deik mi seifa, Rav Papa deik mi reisha. Rav Zvid was very careful in his reading of the Sefer. And that's what the Gemara is going to explain now. Rav Zvid diik mi Sefer diktani muad liktanim, according to his Girsa, v'eino muad likdolim, i'amrit bishlema v'eino muad ktani, I'll support the existence of the Vav. And the Mishnah means to say that we know with proof positive that the Shor is Eino Muad L'Gdolim, because Gdolim were exposed to the Shor and it didn't respond. Hastama. If we don't know what the relationship with between this Shor and the Gdolim would be, in other words, the Shor did not encounter the Gdolim, Havi Muad, then we would assume that since it was Muad for Ktanim, therefore it's Muad L'Gdolim. And all this justifies the chiddush of the Mishnah. HaKamashma, the Mishnah wants to tell us Diafilu miktanim l'gdolim nami mistoma avimuad, that unless you have proof positive to the contrary, once it's a muad l'gdolim, it ipso facto becomes a muad l'gdolim. And that's a chidush, because you might think that, you know, the big bully shar is able to attack and will have confidence in its ability to attack the smaller, you know, Winnie Beanie Shvarim, the Egel. But if there's no proof that it's willing to go from attacking Ketanim to Gdolim, it's not a Muad. No. The Mishnah wants to tell you that only if it's Edo Muad, we know for a fact that even though it had encountered Gdolim, it wasn't Nogeach them. Only in that case is it an Eino Muad Ligdolim. But in a Stoma situation, we assume it's Muad even for Gdolim. That's the Gvaldik Achidush of the Mishnah. El I Amrit, and here's where Rav Zvid attacks Rav Papa. Eino Muad Ketani. If you're taking out the Vav, and the Mishnah means to say that Stoma Lo Avi Muad, that if we only have established the shor to be muad for ketanim, we don't know one way or the other whether it would be muad l'gdolim. We assume, therefore, it's a shor tam as far as gedolim. Is what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Why did the Mishnah have to tell me this? There's an understood kal v'chomer here. Hashta yeishlom miktanim l'ketanim di alma stoma lo avi muad is miktanim l'gdolim. The Mishnah has already told me in the Reisha, within the context of Ketanim, if the Muad was Muad Lemino, on other Minim, according to you, Rav Papa, Eino Muad Ketani, there's no proof that it would be a Muad for other animals of the same size, of a different Min, excuse me. And that means it didn't see any other min, but nevertheless it doesn't become a muad for another min, even if that other min is made up of tanim, is miktanim l'gdolim tzichul meimad l'avimu. Why would I have a hava minute to think otherwise? At the Mishnah has to be mechadish this chiddush, that from ketanim to gdolim it's not a muad. In other words, the logic here, the attack of Rav Zvid, is that if we stick to ketanim, according to you, Rav Papa, you don't become a muad for another min, even though it's ketanim. How much more so when you go from ketanim to gdolim? That doesn't seem to be much of a chiddush. And Rav Papa tries to counter with this. Rav Papa amar lecha itzrich. The Mishnah has to teach me salke daitcha mina. I would have thought hoel uparetz bei bahu mina, paretz bei loshna gdolim di day. Rapapa says, let's look at the min. Within the same min, we might think that there's no distinction between gedolim and ketanim. Meaning, when do we say that there's a muad lemino ve'eno muad li'eno mino, that we assume, unless we know otherwise, it's not muad for a different min? That's two minim. Those are different categories. The halacha recognizes them as two different categories. But within the same min, to find a chiluk between this size of the animal, that size, was the victim of the negicha small or large, was an eagle, was it a par, was it a shar, all that falls apart. We've already, again, this is all the Havamina, we've already established through three Negichos that this animal has a propensity to attack its min. And now within the min, should we assume that it's only Poreitz, it's only Nogeach against Ketanim and not against Gedolim? I would have said no. Once is a Chal Shem Muad Lemino, then there's no Chal Shem Gedolim and Ketanim. Those are non-Halachic categories. And as we've discussed in the past, the process of Muadus is a halachic process. And the Mishnah wants to mechadish called Mashmalon Delo Avi Muad, that these categories called Ketanim and Gdolim are in fact recognized by the Torah. And we discussed before that a Katan is called an Egel. And that's a word that has implications in the Torah itself. There's something called a ben bakar. That's a different category. That's an animal, even if it's 2 years old. There's something called a par that's 3 years old. And all this is established by the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah as halachic categories. So that's the Chiddush of Mishnah, that those halachic categories set up a new min, so to speak, even within what we call al pi metzias, the same min, but that we could break down the min itself into its subcategories. Now we go back to Rav Papa. We've defended Rav Papa against the diuk of Rav Zvid. What was Rav Papa's diuk from the Reisha? Rav Papa diuk mi Reisha, diktani muad li adam, eno muad li behema. The animal attacked three people. It's not muad to behema. I amrit bishlema, eno muad tnan, stama lo havi muad. We're going to understand the chiddush of the Reisha if we assume that in a case of stoma, in other words, we have no proof either way, meaning the shar was not exposed to other animals, to behemos. They never passed in front of it. And the shar is not muad to animals. Imagine, the shar is muad to bnei adam. That's a tough one. You know, the shar was able to overcome man. But we're not going to assume, therefore, that it would be muad to the behemos. And hakamashmalon, now the Mishnah is telling me a chiddush, that dafilu me adam lebehema nami stama lo havi muad. Even though the animal was successful in its attack against adam, adam is a tough opponent or adversary, because as Rashi says at the beginning of the Masechta, Adam yeshlo mazal, which means that Rashi holds that man has das, and therefore he could protect himself, meaning he has wisdom, and he could figure out a way of somehow avoiding the animal and sparing his life. Behemoth is not as sharp to defend itself against a very quick dechifa, negifa, or negicha. And if this animal was able to overcome man, then we don't have to have proof that it's a muad li behema. Certainly it's muad li behema. Kam mashmal, the Mishnah is mechadish to us. No. That afilu muad li behema, nami stoma, unless we know otherwise, it's not muad li behema. Even though it's muad li adam, it's not muad li behema. Eli amrit, but according to you, Rav Zvid, ve'eno muad k'tani. And the Mishnah means to say that this animal, after attacking three human beings, saw animals, and it was not nogeach hastama. But if we didn't see animals go by here, or the shar didn't see animals go by, havi muad, it's automatically a muad lebehemis, is what's the chiddush of the Mishnah in this din? Hashta yesh lomer behema behema stama havi muad. At the beginning of the Mishnah, we say that when from one animal to another animal, according to Rav Zvid, mistama, it's assumed to be a muad. May adam lebehema atzrich lemeimer davi muad. It seems absolutely certain and simple to understand that from an animal, it is definitely muad le animals. From a muad le adam, it's definitely muad le animals. If it's muad from one behemoth to the other, unless we have proof otherwise, that's called stama. Then for sure, in the stama situation of muad le adam, it's certainly muad lebehema. And Rav Zvid now is really pushed against the wall a little bit in order to counter against this diuk of Rav Papa, why the Mishnah had to tell me a chiddush that it is muad lebehema. Once it's muad liyadam, unless we know otherwise, it's muad lebehema. That seems absolutely understood and simple. Rav Zvid reinterprets this Mishnah. And the issue is, do we integrate the Shem Muad li-Adam and the Shem Muad li-Behem as one entity? And then Afkabin is going to be Lagavi Chazorah. Rav Zvid Omelcha Reisha Achazorah Koi. The Reisha of the Mishnah is not talking about how we establish a Shar as a Shar Muad. On the contrary, how does a Shar Muad retract its status, replace its status as a muad, and can go back to its original natural state of being a tam, kigon davi muad li other muad le behema, for other may be behema, the koi gabi mema tlosa zimni velo nagach. We have an animal that's already been established to be both muad li other and muad le behema, which again, according to Rav Zvid, we assume up front that it's Mu'ad li'adam, bistama, it's Mu'ad l'behema. But now, the animal did a chazara, but it only did a partial chazara, a halfway measure of chazara. There were animals that passed in front of it, and it wasn't nogeach. So now we really have to, understand, is there one shame Mu'ad, which is kolel, both mu'adus li'adam and mu'adus l'behema, which would mean that the chazor would have to be on the whole kit and caboodle, or no? Even though the mu'adus li'adam establishes bistama, according to Rav Zvid, a mu'adus l'behema, but the mu'adus l'behema is a separate category. It's a shame mu'ad l'behema unto itself. Then afkamin is going to be chazora from behema. Mao did tema came into lohadar behemi adam. There was no chazora from adam. In other words, the animal consistently is no geach adam, and we find that the animal is pretty consistent on that. So obviously the shame mu'ad is still chal. Despite the chazara from behema, there's a residue here of mu'adus in this animal, vis-a-vis adam. And therefore I would think that since there was no chazara from the shame mu'ad li adam, is chazara de behema lav chazara hi? It's an all or nothing process, this chazara. You cannot separate out, or shall we say, remove the shame mu'ad l'behema from this animal. Because as long as once the shame mu'ad is chal, because Rav Zvid has this overall, all-encompassing shame mu'adus, then that shame mu'adus automatically is chal vis-a-vis behema. And the chazara behema is not called a chazara. Again, this all fits in with our premise that hilchos mu'adus are chaloshem, or gzeres hakosav. They operate within the mechanics of halacha. It's kamash malon. The Mishnah wants to tell us, no, the shame mu'ad l'behema is a separate entity, independent. The chazara l'behema mi'a chazara havi. And that's what it means when the Mishnah is machadish in the reisha, eino mu'ad l'behema, that once it was chozer bo, on three occasions, from the Gichas Behema, it no longer has the status of a Mu'ad Behema. And if it's no Geach Behema, it is Chayav only Chatzi Nezek as a Shor Tam. The Mefarshim point out, and this is in the Shita Mekubetzes, that the Seder HaMishnah is a little bit strange. The Mishnah opens up with the laws of Ha'odah. If we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Sharshu Mu'ad Lamino, Eina Mu'ad L'Sheino Mino, that's all Mu'adus. And then when it gets to the next part of the Mishnah, about Adam and Behema, we're talking about Dinei Chazara. Then when it gets to the third part of the Mishnah, namely the laws of Ketanim and Gdolim, we're back to the Dinim of Ha'adah again. It's jumping around, this Mishnah. So the Shita Mekubetzes tries to reconcile this Mishnah in such a way that the Mishnah wants to write, first of all, the din of Mu'ad Lamino, Mu'ad L'Sheido Mino, whether it's Bali Chaim, whether it's Adam, and then the Mishnah goes back to Ha'ada in Ketanim and Gdolim, when they both belong to one min. But be that as it may, Meisvei, the Gemara now quotes a brisa that supports Rav Zvid, and presents a serious difficulty for Rav Papa. Rav Ashi is going to bring a proof from our Mishnah against Rav Papa. So we have two proofs coming around the bend here to support Rav Zvid v'eino mu'ad. The first brisa says, Sumchus Omer Mu'ad li'adam Mu'ad l'behema Mikal v'chomer. Uma li Adam. Again, Adam is a very formidable enemy for the Shor. He has mazel, as we discussed. Muad, once this animal has established itself as Muad li Adam, lebehemelo kolshkein, it's much easier for the animal to overcome an opponent, which is another animal. And therefore, for sure, it should be a Muad. So this Brisa records a second Shita against the Shita of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah establishes that Muad l'Adam ain't a Muad l'Behema. Sumcha says no. Muad l'Adam avi Muad l'Behema. Michlal de Tanakama. The Tanakama of our Mishnah is of the opinion that Muad l'Adam ain't a Muad l'Behema means ain't a Muad ka'amar. Like Rav Zvid, that the Girsa of the Mishnah has to remove the Vav. So I see I made a mistake. I told you that this first Raya was a Raya for Rav Zvid from a Braisa, and Rav Vashi subsequently quotes a Raya to Rav Zvid from our Mishnah. That's not true. I stand corrected, sorry. This Braisa is going to be a Raya fakert for Rav Papa, and Rav Zvid is going to have to reinterpret this Braisa, because the Braisa quoting Sumchus is going to teach us that the Tanakama held Eino Muad Kamar. And the Girsa of Rav Papa is correct without the Vav, meaning the Mishnah wants to be Mechadesh that even in a stomach situation, the animal, although it was Muad L'Adam, is not Muad L'Behema. And on that point, Sumchus disagrees, and he says if the animal was Muad L'Adam, then Mistoma, it's Muad L'Behema. And the Tanakhama disagrees and holds it's not Mistoma Muad L'Behema. Because, again, if you took the Girsa of the Eino Muad, means you need a Hochacha, proof that it's not Muad L'Behema. So how could Sumchus possibly argue with that? In other words, if you're assuming the way Rav Zvid assumes Eino Muad, it means that in a Stoma situation it is Muad L'Behema, as it's Muad L'Adam, then that itself grants you, produces the Sheet of Sumchus. That's exactly what Sumchus is telling me, that unless you know otherwise, once it's Muad L'Adam, it's Muad L'Behema. And that's called Mistoma. And that, the Tanakhama says, Muad L'Adam Lavi Muad L'Behema. It's not assumed Mistoma to be Muad L'Behema, that's Rav Papa. Rav Zvid says that I can still justify, even in the light of this Braisa, the Girsa of the Eino Muad, and that means that the Shor, once it is Muad L'Adam, is automatically assumed in our Mishnah to be Muad L'Behema, unless we know otherwise. But if there was a chazara, in which case three times the animal saw behemos and it wasn't ogeach, then it's eino muad lebehema, and that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Is Sumchus is telling you no, that once it became a muad li'adam ulebehema, right? Because again, the assumption is that once it's a muad li'adam mistoma, it's a muad lebehema. Is then there's one unified Chalushem Muadus here. And then Afkamina, as we said before, is Chazara. If it's an integrated Shem Muad, it's indivisible as a unit, then Sumchas HaChazara Kavachi Kamala Tanakama de Ka'amit, you say Chazara de Behema, Chazara he, that even if the animal continues to be belligerent vis-a-vis Bnei Adam, and there was no chazor from Adam, nevertheless, the chazor from Behema is a chal shem chazor to remove its muadah status with regard to Behemos. No, says Sumchus, I disagree. Chazor de Behema lav chazor he. You cannot have a chazor to Behema because it's still muad li'adam. And that's the kal v'chomer that he was using. If me Adam ma Adam loka mahadr bay, if the animal still exhibits that consistent belligerency vis-a-vis man, that he's not worried about man's mazel to protect himself, then mi behema lo kolshkein, certainly the animal will attack behemos. Okay, so that was the raya that we brought to Rav Papa from Sumchus, and now Rav Zvid defends l'shitaso and counters against that raya. Now Rav Ashi takes us back to our Mishnah. He wants to support Rav Zvid. Omar Rav Ashi. Toshma, let's learn the Sefer of our Mishnah. Amru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. The Talmidim came with a Shaila in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Hareze muad l'shabosos v'eino muad l'yemos hachol. Right, what's the deal, they asked, if this animal was nogeach on three shabosos consecutively? And Rabbi Yehuda responded, Omam l'shabosos m'shalem nezek sholem l'yemos hachol m'shalem chatzi nezek. I amet bishlema v'eino muad k'tani. Then shi'ulehu dekom eshailile. We can justify the interpretation of our Mishnah that the Talmidim asked with all, shall we say, naivete, with all due respect. They were in their humble state. They really asked an honest-to-goodness question to Rabbi Yehuda. What's the din in such a case? The shah was muad to shabbosos, and it wasn't muad to yemos hachol. That's a question, and Rabbi Yehuda responded, "Hunami kamahadolahu," and he paskined that it's only a muad for shabbosos. But Eli Amr, if your reading of the Mishnah is eno muad k'tani, which means eno muad is the psak, then the Talmidim already gave the din. They gave the psak even as they were asking the question. They were the ones who told Rabbi Yehuda in their so-called question, eino muad, that it's not muad for yemos hachol. They already paskin the shaylag murei Yehuda kamagmerile. What are they coming as talmidim to teach Rabbi Yehuda the halacha v'su? And furthermore, iu maiko mahaduluhu. What did Rabbi Yehuda add to their knowledge if they already paskin that he's an eino muad le yemos hachol? In other words, this Mishnah, or this part of the Mishnah at least, in recording the dialogue between, the question-answer between the Talmidim and Rabbi Yehuda makes sense if you hold v'eino muad, because v'eino muad is a description of what happens over here. And what does v'eino muad mean? That during the weekday, the animal saw, this shor saw other animals, and it wasn't nogeach. And the question is, does that engender a partial Shem Muadus and remove the Shem Muadus as far as Chol is concerned? Is there a valid distinction between Shabbos and Chol? That's where Rabbi Yehuda gave his Orah. That makes sense according to Rav Zvid. Now, Rav Yanai, and this is why I before told you there were two proofs to support Rav Zvid. Here's the second one. Om Rav Yanai me Reisha Nami Daika. Even from the Reisha, before the question that Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda, I have a diuk to support Rav Zvid, and that is the Katani. The Reisha says es shemuad lo mishalim nezek sholem v'she'ena muad lo mishalim chatzi nezek. I amrit bishlema v'eno muad katani. If it says in the Mishnah v'eno muad katani, that's a description of all the various scenarios that the Mishnah addresses, that it saw the other min and it wasn't no geach. That's called Perusha Kamafarish. It's explaining the case. Now the Mishnah comes to give you the din in the case. Ela Iyamrit Eino Muad Ketani, which according to Rav Papa, if you take out the Vav, is Pascha. The Mishnah is telling you the final Psak that it's an Eino Muad. My Su, why does the Mishnah now have to come back and tell you Eshem Muad Lo Mishalim Nezek Shol V'Shein Muad Lo Mishalim Chatzi Nezek? I mean, we didn't know that. Ad Hashda Lo Hashminin Da Atam Mishalim Nezek Sholem Umuad Mishalim Nezek Chatzi Nezek Umuad Mishalim Nezek Sholem. I mean, that's all over the place. I mean, that we know. So you've already told me Eino Muad, meaning it pays as a tav. So why do you have to repeat yourself and say that it pays as a tav? But even after these two proofs from our Mishnah, the support Rav Zvid, nevertheless the Gemara ends up by saying, V'imtim tzalomar nami isa l'Rav Yehud, l'Rav Papa, even after all these rayos, we're still going to paskin halacha l'maisa like Rav Papa. that's what we thought was intuitively logical, that mu'ud to this is not mu'ud to that, that in mistama, unless we know otherwise, it's only mu'ud to one particular min. Nagach shor chamor v'gamal. What would Rav Papa say about an animal that was nogach shor chamor v'gamal? In a sense, three representatives of three different minim. And the Gemara says, Nasa Mu'ud Lekol, even Rav Papa would agree that here we have that Klolius Dikashe Mu'ud that we discussed in the context of Rav Zvid. Once we have three representatives of three different minim, and the show is Nogach, all three, you have a double barrel Mu'udasi. You have, number one, Mu'udasi, the animal is a Mu'ud, and it, you know, with no discrepancy against, not differentiating between this min and another min, the animal is nogeh three times, that proves its propensity to be a sharmua, to damage in a belligerent way, kavanasolazik, as we discussed. But not only that, if you want to know, well, maybe it's a nagchan as far as one min or the other, the fact that three representative mins, and yet it was nogeh each one of these minim, that itself, even though it's only one time to each min, is enough to establish that this shar is indiscriminate, and with no discrimination against any particular min, it will indiscriminately be a nagchan, a belligerent shar for all min. Tana Rabbanan, here's another situation in which the shar is not mu'ad for all negichos. Ra shar v'nagach, shar v'lo nagach. So what's the story here with this shar? It saw one shar and it was nogeach, it saw another shar and it was not nogeach. Then it saw, in the third occasion, shar v'nogach. And then in the fourth round, shar v'lonogach. Shar v'nogach, shar v'lonogach. So we have three repetitions of this cycle of nogach v'lonogach. And if not for this brisa, you would have assumed that after every subsequent negich there was a chazara. Again, even though chazara requires three times, but nevertheless there were three chazaras here, and not only that, chazara requires three times after mu'adus. Here the chazaras were wedged in between each singular negicha, and therefore the chazara should be meaningful. But the brisa adds and establishes a new revolutionary chiddush, nasa mu'ad l'seirigin. This is a mu'ad for negichos bedilug, as we would say, skipping over from one to three, like in checkers. And we find similar concepts in haflogos vestos, that if she sees dam and then skips and then she sees dam, but there's a certain pattern that repeats itself, that's called seirigin. And we once had a discussion about whether seirigin is meaningful even in the case of cheskas gimel shanim. The Gemara later on is going to make this explicit analogy between a vest bedilug in Hilchas Nida and Negicha bedilug le'inyan mu'ad l'seirigin. And the question that you want to ask here is, why did the brisa have to add the last piece of Rosh Shar v'lo nagach? I mean, after all, the negicha shlishis, at least according to Rashi, should be enough to establish the shar as a shar mu'ad. And the Maram Milublin here in the back, he wants to say that the brisa wants to say that, quote, li olam tzarch linog minig zel ligach beseirigin. We need to establish in a positive way that the propensity, the behavior pattern, this animal is very clearly repetitive of seirigin. So you need the seirigin three times. Tana Rabbanan, we have another brisa about seirigin. Rosh shor nogach chamor lo nogach, sus nogach, gamal lo nogach, pered nogach, a road lo nogach, nasa muad l'serigin lakol. We can take this halacha of muad l'serigin even one step further. We can apply it even to a muadis for all minim. If, let's say, there was the Braisa enumerates six different minim, a shor, and a chamor, and a sus, and a gamal, and a pered, and an arod. Arod is also a kind of chamor. A pered is also, these are different animals, different minim. And in each case, it's A, C, E, meaning it's nogach the first, the third, and the fifth. That's called a muad l'serigin for all minim. And this shar was nogeh three different minim. That makes it a muad l'chol mine behema, but it is a muad l'serigin, because on every other occasion it refrains from negicha. Iboiluhu, the Gemara now has a safek, and here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Nogach, shar, shar, v'shar. Chamor v'gamal mahu. Notice that there were three negichas of shvarim consistently, continuously, and then there was a negich of a shor and a gamal. Does it become a shor amuad for all minim? Can we take that third negich, which is a negich ashor, and use it, so to speak, midaliel or midalara in both directions? Hai shar basra, the third negich of a shar, basar shvarim shadinan le? Shall we say no? That third negicha was part of the mu'adis, this process in which the animal established itself as a mu'ad l'shvarim. And as far as other animals, as far as other minim, it has not established itself as a mu'ad. And this fits very beautifully into our Papa's frame of reference, because Mistoma, it's not Mu'ad to other animals. So now we have to establish its Mu'ad to slowness animals. So Akati Lishvara Mudiyayid Limidi Achrini Loyad, we cannot assume that it is a Mu'ad for other behemoths until it's Nogech three other behemoths. And the other side is to say, O Dilma, Hai shar basar basar chamor v'gomol shadina lei. We can use that third negicha not only to establish the shar as a muad l'shvarim, but v'ayid lei l'kule mine, it could become a shar a muad even for other minim, because we, at the end of the day, we have shar. We have negichas shar, negichas chamor, and negichas gamal. And that's the suffix of the Gemara. The Gemara is now going to bring a string of sfeikas that fit into this general same pattern, whether we take it a gich and we could use it in a broader way. And if you look in Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Shar, you get the impression that this suffix and all the sfeikas that follow are presented within the framework of Rav Papa, that mistoma, it's not a muad to shein omino, so we need a positive proof to establish the ein omino. The third negicha, the shar, was a negicha's mino, so can we use that negicha at the same time as a negicha of ein omino, insofar as shar is also representative of the general animal kingdom? But Tosis raises the possibility that this suffix and all the suffixes that follow could even be understood within the framework of Rav Zvid, but then you might have to change the scenario a little bit from the way we understood it. Let's assume that amongst the Shvarim Harishonim Shenogach, so let's say in the first two Negichas, the Shar was Nogach Shvarim, and there were other animals that it wasn't Nogach. And that, according to Rav Zvid, is proof positive that it's not a mu'ad for other animals. And that would mean that it's eino nasa mu'ad for other animals. And the only way we could make it mu'ad now to other animals would be if we could be mitzar, if we could integrate the negicha of the shar, that third negicha, together with the other minim. Now the Gemara has another suffix, which is kind of an imtim to lomar. In other words, if, let's say, in the previous suffix, we would conclude that we can add the shar, meaning the third negich of the shar, and integrate it with the other negichos, then the Mishnah, then the Gemara wants to know, what about the opposite case? Flip it around in terms of sequence. Hamar v'gamal, shar shar v'shar mahu, hai shar kama, basar hamar v'gamal shadinan le. Meaning, even if in the previous question you're willing to take the third negich of the shar and be very liberal about it and extend it to and integrate it together with the other two negichos of two other meaning, but in this case, I'm hard-pressed to do so. Yet, in this second scenario, there's a strong svara, there's a compelling logic to say that the negich ha-shar, in this case, the first negich of the shar, could be mitzarev and mitzurov with the previous negichos. In other words, we go sequentially. So, in a case where the third negicha following two negichas of Shvarim was a shar, then that sequence pulls that third negicha towards Shvarim. But here, the first negicha was that of a chamar, then to a gomel, and then a shar, we would want to pull that negicha shar into the collective unit of all animals. And that's what the Gemara says. Hai shar kama basar chamar v'gol sheni. Since it followed chronologically, progressively, from the first two negichos of Chamar v'Gamal, that third negicha shar is gravitationally pulled to create a negicha, a muadis for all behemoths. Ibaylu l'kula mina. Odilmash, we say no, that we could still create some sort of a hefsek here. We say, well, in terms of other minim, you want to establish it as a muad. Again, this is very good according to Rav Papa. Then leave shar out of the picture, because that's mino. And that's a separate category unto itself. So basar shvarim shadinale, we're going to assume that that third negicha in this case, which was the first negicha of the series of shvarim, belongs to the series of shvarim, even though it came sequentially later. And akati, therefore, it's still a shvarim di'ay lemina achrina lo'yad. It's not mu'at al demina, because this third negicha is not representative of all the minim, but rather it's representative of the shvarim. And maybe what the Gemara is really touching on is, how do you establish muadus for all behemos as a muadus klolis for all behemos when you have three representatives of each min? Is it that each negicha of each respective individual min is a negicha of that min, but then afterwards we calculate, well, sach hakol, there were three negichos of three different minim. It's the three different minim that sets up the muadis for all behemoths, or no? Are we just saying that the shor was nogeach this animal, that animal, all representing different animals? And it's not like that the negicha is localized as if it was the first, as a chal shem first negicha for this animal, for chamor, and it just at the sum total of three. The Gemara is vacillating back and forth. The nafkamina is going to be, how do we view this third negicha of a shor? Is it a negicha shor? Or is it a negichas behema? If it's a negichas behema, then we already have three negichos of behema, so it's muad for all minim. If, on the other hand, we view it as a negichas shar, and now we want to integrate it together with a negichas chamar and a negichas gamal, you really have no right to do that. I object. Why? Because a negichas shar has a gravitational pull to its own, to join up with another negicha shor, and with a third negicha shor, setting up the three subsequent negichos of shvarim as one entity. The Gemara has a similar kind of suffix now with regard to Shabbos and Chol. What do we have here? We have Shabbos v'Shabbos, and then Echad v'Shabbos v'Sheni v'Shabbos Mahu. We certainly have Muadus for Shabbos, for Shabbosos, that was established by Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Can we use the third Negicha of the third Shabbos and integrate it to Sunday and Monday and establish a general Muadus for all days? Hashabbos basraisa basa Shabbos u d'shaydinim vakati l'Shabbos d'yadi l'mos hachama l'mos hachol lo yaido dilma basa echad v'Shabbos v'sheni v'Shabbos shaydinim v'yadi l'chol leila kule yome. What do we do with this third negicha of Shabbos? The Shita Mekubetzes here makes a comment that the additional suffek here, how does it take us beyond the previous sfeikus? He says that since Shabbos is very close to the Yimos HaChol that came before it or that come afterward, and it's much closer to those days of Chol than it is to the following Shabbos, which is only 7 days down the line, there's more of a logical, more of a compelling logic to assume that this tziruf between the Negichas Shabbos and the Negichas Chol, rather than be mitzarvit to Negichas Shabbos. So if we're saying that the Muadis goes through that two-stage process that we described earlier, first becomes a Muad l'Shabbos, and then and then you have to establish as a Muad l'Chol, well, it would seem that Shabbos really is not a separate entity, but it's rather linked up with Yemos HaChol. And that's the compelling logic to the second side in this suffek, namely that we view Shabbos as part of the week to come, perhaps the first day of the week to come, and it links up with Sunday and Monday that comes after, that come afterwards, and then we have a Muadis for the entire week, L'kulei Yoma. We can now switch it around and make it even more palatable and more attractive to the position of using Shabbos in a twofold way. In the case of Chamishi b'Shabbos v'Erev Shabbos, let's say it began with two weekday negichos, and the third negicho was Shabbos, and then it was a series of three negichos of Shabbos, Shabbos v'Shabbos mahu. Shall we say that the third negicho here, the negicho of Shabbos, is a completion of the process of making it muad l'chulei yoma? So Shabbos Kamaisa Basar Chamishi v'Shabbos Erev Shabbos Shadina Le, it's a continuation of the process of Ha'adah. And again, this all touches on the very fundamental question about Ha'adah as a process. V'yayi l'kuli yoma. O Dilma, should we say, HaShabbos Kamaisa, the first Shabbos Negicha, which was the third Negicha in the series, that's already a specific Shabbos Negicha. Again, this fits in so beautifully, according to Rashi, who says that there's something unique about Shabbos, insofar as the day of Bittul Melacha, and that gets this shor a little bit fidgety, a little bit antsy. Or, alternatively, according to Tosfos, that people dress differently on Shabbos. Again, that wouldn't affect Muadusli lebehemus, and it would seem, at least in the first half of the sugya, that we're talking about Muadus lebehemus. Maybe in the Shabbos context, we're also talking about Muadus lebehemus. And therefore, Shabbos might be a unique negicha, a unique haschalas Muadus unto itself. And therefore, l'shabbosos hu diayit, but it's not Muad L'Yemos HaChol. And the Gemara concludes here, Teiku, on all these questions, Teiku, and the Rosh has a brilliant Chiddush over here. And his Chiddush is that, just 1 second, I said it was the Rosh, I think I made a mistake here. Who's the one who makes this, who says this Chiddush? I wrote it down here. Just give me a second. Oh, my mistake. This is the Chiddush of the Rashbam. We have two categories of Sfeikus. And the rules that apply, Halach L'Maisa, how do we paskin in Sfeikus, might change based on these two categories. And the Rashbam is of the opinion that if you have what's called a Sfeika D'Dina, then that's a category unto itself. For example, how does this cut ice? Rabbeinu Chananel says here, you'll see at the Dibur Maskil Iboi, that it's on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, that we should apply the principle here called Teku Mamona Lekula, which means Amotzi Chavero Olav Araya, And if the Nizak wants to prove that he should collect, he has rights to collect Nezek Shalem, then as a Sharmuot, then the burden of proof is upon him. The Rashbam says that there's a different kind of a rule that applies to a different kind of a suffix. And that's a suffix bedin. If it's a suffix that's inherent in the din, it means that the dayanim, they themselves can't know the din. That's called teku bedin. There really is no hachra for the suffix. The suffix in and of itself is eno mukhra. You can't really tip the scale, in any direction here. The classical suffix, says the Rashbam, is we don't know exactly what went on over here. You know, did he take the money? Did he not take the money? Did he borrow? Did he pay back? Etc. 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 That's called the suffix b'maisa. There, the rule of Rabbi Chananel is absolutely correct. That if, let's say, the Malv wants to establish that the Lova never paid him back, and he has no proof, so suffix lekula, and amotzi mechavel arai. But here, we're dealing with a teku. Teku is not based on a maisa. We know exactly what happened in this maisa. The question is what the din says. And in such a case, the dayanim are not empowered to get involved. And according to the Rashbam, it would seem, and the Miri spells this out without mentioning the Rashbam, there would be tfisa, meaning, again, the dayanim say non-involvement, and they're going to collect chatzi nezik. Beyond the chatzi nezik, they can't actively do anything because of the suffix bedin. But let's say the nizak took the law into his own hands, and he grabbed the other chatzi nezik from the mazik. Well, once again, the dayanim are out of the picture here. They can't get involved. And therefore, ein motzir miyodo. Had it been a suffix b'maisa, and we would have the full brunt of hamotzi mechayel araya, if the malva steals from the lova under the claim that he has a rightful ownership, but he has no proof to establish that claim, then motzir no sol miyodo. Now here's another case of Seirgin. Nagach shor yom chamisha sar b'chodesh zeh. So again, a classical case of Seirgin would be if the Shah is Nogech every 15th of the month. In other words, the window of time between the first Nogech and the second and the third is always the same. But here, the Shah always adds another day. So it went from Yom Chamisha Sol Chodesh in the first Negicha, then the second Negicha was Yom Shisha Sol Chodesh, the third Negicha was Yom Shiva Sol Chodesh, went up from 15 to 16 to 17, is now we have to go back, and we mentioned this earlier, to the laws of Vestos and Haflogah. And that's the famous Machlokes Plukta de Rav Ushmuel. If you learn Masechta Nida and Hilchas Nida, this becomes very fundamental, this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Just to give a little background, a woman who sees Dam, she's metame hataharos that she came in contact with retroactively for 24 hours, that's called Me'es Le'es. Why? Because it could be that although she didn't see the dam come out, it was in the Beis Achitza and inside her body, about to come out, ready for a 24-hour period. But if she's Koveya Veses, and therefore she sees dam, she's usual at seeing dam at a certain time, a Azman Kavua, what we call, according to some sort of set pattern, then there's no din of Me'es Le'es to be Metamei Hataras that Shinogamahen 24 hours earlier. And any Taras that she's in contact with are Tahoros. And you'll see this all Rashi, Diva Maschil Kova. And it's all in the Sugya at the beginning of Nida Daf Tezayin. Now, there is one man, the Yomer, who holds Vestos Ado Raisa. And therefore, even if she didn't see on that day, we assume that she's a Nida, and she's Tmei Boso Yom. unless she has a way in which she clarifies for sure that she didn't see, let's say with a mokdachuk, whatever it might be. Now, what's the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel? Itmar, we learned in Masechta Nida, this is later in Masechta Nida, this machlokus, Adaf Samach Dalet. Rasa Yom Chamisha Sobachodesh Yom, Shisha Sobachodesh Yom, Shiva Sobachodesh. It's exactly our case where she adds a day and sees subsequently, she sees consistently three months in a row. Is according to Rav, Rav Amar Kavala Veses. This is called a Veses Lidiluk. And if you look at Rashi Dimaskel Shmuel, you will see that on that third Re'iyah, on the 17th of the month, in the third month, she already has, according to Rav, a din of a Veses Kavua. So with that third Re'iyah, we could be Metayer Ol Ha'Taharo Shenogaben Me'es Leis. The Rashba has another understanding of this whole machlokus that we're about to learn here between Rav and Shmuel. He assumes that according to Rav, she was kovea veses, which means that she will see on tesvav tezayin yudzayin in the next series. The veses is not nogea now, it's nogea to the next three re'ios. Shmuel, on the other hand, is going to say that she has to see three times tezvav, tezayin, and yudzayin. So whereas Rav says that, according to the Rashba, that you can have a veses that was established based on one series, tezvav, tezayin, yudzayin, Shmuel needs three series of tezvav, tezayin, yudzayin. Shmuel Omar, ad shetishalesh bediluk. In other words, according to Shmuel, she's not kovas veses in the fact that she sees three times, because Shmuel wants to see a fourth re'iyah. I'm going according to Rashi now, which means that according to Shmuel, the first re'iyah somehow is not integrated into the other two to create a veses bediluk, but she needs a second, third, and fourth re'iyah. Because again, it's only after the first re'iyah, according to Shmuel, that she begins to set a pattern. The first re'iyah was, in a sense, random. It doesn't belong to any particular day. It only belongs to a particular day in order to set up a haflaga for the second, which repeats itself in the haflaga between 2 and 3 and 3 and 4. So there was three aflogos of that month plus a day. So she'll have to see, according to Shmuel, a fourth re'iyah on the 18th of the next month. And that's the way Rashi understands Shmuel. You need four re'iyos to establish the Veses Bediluk. Whereas according to the Rashba, as we said, Shmuel requires two series of three re'iyos. Fine. So Shmuel says that you're not mitzayif the first re'iyah, and the Gemara assumes that the same din should apply to negichos in shor. According to Rav, if you have 15, 16, and 17, you could be mitzayif them all together, and already on the third negicha, on the 17th of the month, the shor becomes mu'ar. According to Shmuel, on the other hand, the first negicha is not mitzuraf, and you will need now a fourth negi on the 18th of the month in order to create muadus. So we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, which is a fundamental machlokes, and it's nogea to two different areas. Number one, to Tuma Vitara and Hilchas Nida. Number two, to the laws of muadus. Now, at this point, I wanted to introduce the Rush. I was jumping the gun a little bit before, has a brilliant chiddush. He wants to know, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin in a machlokes Rav and Shmuel? We have two rules that govern Rav and Shmuel in halacha. The rule is halacha kerabi surin, but Shmuel is considered the expert on dini mamonos. And you might say the following. this is very tempting, and the rush is coming, lafuki, that with regard to vestos, with regard to nida and tumah v'tara, that's halacha kirabi surin, but as far as Shenogach is concerned, we'll paskin like Shmuel, halacha Shmuel b'dini mamonis, he's the expert, and therefore we'll have to wait until the fourth negicha in order to establish muad l'serigin. Counsel in the Rashi says no. The reason why we establish halacha kishmul b'dini mamonos is because he's the expert in dini mamonos. But supposing the machlokas is not rooted, it's not anchored in this area of halacha called dini mamonos. Dini mamonos is only an application. The source of this machlokas, the raisa halacha, this machlokas is legabi isurim, and we're forced to paskin like Rav B'Isurin, based on that principle. Therefore, the spin-off is to apply that same logic to Dini Mominos. Because again, once you've taken a stand in Dine Isurim and accepted, embraced the Sheet of Rav, then willy-nilly you've accepted the Sheet of Rav as it applies umitum in general, even to Dini Mominos. Had the halacha of Hafloga and Dilug in Shar HaMuad been a separate independent issue, then you're right. Halach Kishmul v'dini mamonos. He's the final word in dini mamonos. But here, the Yesoda Plugta is in dine Isur v'heter, and the application to dini mamonos is really just a spin-off. And this is against other Rishonim, the Arzarua, doesn't accept this rush. He's of the opinion that we'll have to paskin like Shmuel v'dini mamonos. And the Meiri also says that Legabi Shar Muad, we're going to paskin like Shmuel, even though we paskin like Rav, Legabi Nida, on this very same issue. Omar Rava says, Shama kol shofar v'nogach. If something provokes the animal to be nogach, like a loud noise, a sudden noise of a shofar blowing, kol shofar nogach, three times the animal responded and reacted to this called shofar and was no gech nasa mu'ud l'shofros. That makes sense. Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, what is Rava coming to Mechadish Ma'ud? The Tema I would have thought. Hach shofar kama. Don't integrate the first negicha, when it first heard the shofar on time T1, into the series of three to establish mu'adus, because it's siyuta v'alma who denakte. The animal was totally shocked by the shofar. It was the first time in its life. And in that state of being, it was so provoked and so upset that it was no geach. But that's not part of the propensity of the animal. It's not the teva of the animal, and it can't be integrated into muadus. And the basic principle here in this havamina is that the three times of establishing a shor as a shamuad are sholosh pamim she kovim teva shalashar. They determine the teva, the shor. But if the first time it was nogeach was because of Baha'u'llah, it was overwhelmed and shocked, that doesn't prove or establish anything or indicate anything about the teva, the animal called mashma. No. We can integrate that first negicha into the muadus of tkias kol shofar. The mission establishes shor shal yisrael shenogach shor shal hegdesh v'shal hegdesh shenogach l'shor shal hejot. It's the opinion of the Tana of our Mishnah. We'll soon see that Rav Shim ben Manasseh and the Rice has a different shita, that there's no din of nezikin or tashlume nezikin with regard to Hegdesh, whether it's Kodshim Mizbeach, Kodshim Berek HaBayis, it makes no difference. And even though you could be Tovea Hegdesh, the Gizbar, in the case of Kodshim Mizbeach, it would not be Me'ila if you get money from the Gizbar, because that money that's given by the Gizbar as payment of Tashlumin Ezekiel is automatically Mufka from Me'ila. It becomes money of Chulin. Shenemar. Now, where do we find a source in the Torah? You see, again, we've already had a Mishnah back on Daf Tes to establish that Nechosim Shein Ben Me'ila, you're only Chayav in Ezekiel for Nechosim Shein Ben Me'ila, as opposed to a Shar Shal Hegdesh. But what our Mishnah is adding to the Mishnah on Daf Tes is the Shenemar. from whence do we derive, where's the source for this halacha? And the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, "V'chiyigov shar ish es shar re'ehu." The emphasis here is on re'ehu v'lo shar shal hegdesh, and this means two things. It means number one that if the shar shal hegdesh is no geach, there's no din of nezikin, and number two, if our shar, which is called the shar shal hegdot, is no geach as shar shal hegdesh, there's no tvias nezikin. Now, our Mishnah is discussing negicha. That's beforish in the Mishnah. What would be with regard to other kinds of, or categories of nezikin, sharov is nezikin, or other mamasik? So Tosas back on the Vav Amid Beis, assumes that in all nezikin there's a p'tur hegdesh, even in other mamasik. The Meiri, on the other hand, back on Daf Chav Gimel, assumes that in Mamon Amazik Hegdish is Patur, but Adam Amazik Hegdish is Chayav, and the Ravid assumes that only in Keren is there a Ptur of Nezikin for Hegdish, and that's derived from this parsha of Negichas Shar Eshar Re'ehu V'lo Shal Hegdish, but it doesn't apply to any of the Avos Nezikin, and it's not a general principle in Mamon Amazik. The Mishnah continues by establishing that Shar Shal Yisrael Shenogach L'Shar Shal Knani Patur. There's always been a sensitive issue historically throughout the generations that we're not chayav to Nezikin if we damage a non-Jew. But V'Shel Knani Shenogach L'Shar Shal Yisrael Bein Tam Bein Mu'ud Min Shalem Nezik Shalem. A non-Jew is liable for negligence in watching his shar. It doesn't matter how many times the shar, that whole distinction between shar tam and shar muad is irrelevant to the, you know, to the non-Jewish world. And in fact, I checked this out with a lawyer. It turns out that according to his opinion, at least, in secular civil tort law, either you're chayev or you're not chayev. This whole chatzi nezek business doesn't exist in tort law, because if there's liability, you'll pay and compensate the damaged party. So this distinction between tam and mu'ud is not going to apply over here in the case where the shar shel akum, and the Mishnah used the word knani, was nogeach as shar shel Yisrael. And it would seem that this also is derived from the mute of the pasuk re'ehu. And nevertheless, even though we used re'ehu in the case of hegdesh in two different directions, which means that a shar shel hegdesh that was nogeach is potur from damages. Here, in the case of shar shel knani that was nogeach Yisrael, you pay nezek sholem, and the Gemara is going to give an explanation for this later on Daf Lamed Ches. So we don't take re'ehu as dusitri, you know, going in both directions, as we did earlier with regard to hegdesh. And the Gemara now presents, based on a brisa, another shita against that Mishmas Nisin, the Lok Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. He says that you have to pay for shor shel hegdesh, the sanya shor shel hegdot shenogach shor shel hegdesh v'shel hegdesh shenogach shor shel hegdesh potu shenem shoriyev lo shor shel hegdesh. This was our Tanakam, our Mishnah. Reb Shimon ben Manasseh in the Brisa says shor shel hegdesh shenogach shor shel hegdesh potu. It's true that hegdesh is not liable. You cannot sue hegdesh for damages. And let's assume, again, just balabatish, that the gizbar cannot be responsible for guarding all the animals of hegdesh that he's in charge of. However, and here's where Rav Shimon ben Manasseh disagrees with that Mishnah, v'shel hegdot shenogach shor shel hegdesh bein tam ubein muad mishalem nezek sholem. If our shor is nogeach, a shor shel hegdesh, this is reminiscent of the case of shel knani shenogeach l'shor shel Yisrael, is you pay nezek sholem to hegdesh right off the bat, even on the first negicha. What's the explanation for Reb Shimon ben Manasseh? Amri, Maika saw Reb Shimon, what did he do with the drosha of Re'ehu? There seems to be an inconsistency. E Re'ehu dafka. If Reb Shimon ben Manasseh embraced the opinion that Re'ehu is to be taken literally to the exclusion of Hegdesh, is Afilu Shal Hegdot, Shenaga Shal Hegdesh, Lipoter, after all the case in the Torah is where the victim, the damaged, was Re'ehu, and therefore if our shor is Nogech Hegdesh, that's not Re'ehu, the victim is not Re'ehu, then Li Potter, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, should agree that your Potter, if your shor is Nogech Shor Shel Hegdesh. And if on the other hand Re'ehu loved Afkir, he never had the drush of Re'ehu, is Afilu de Hegdesh Nami Kika Nogach de Hejot. If our shor was damaged by a shor shel Hegdesh, is Lichayev. Why shouldn't Hegdesh be Chayev? Meaning, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh should be consistent. If he rejects the drosha of Re'ehu, and therefore if our shor is Nogeach, Hegdesh were Chayev, then if the shor shel Hegdesh is Nogeach, our shor, then Hegdesh should be liable. And we should basically ask, according to Rabbi Shimon, how does Rabbi Shimon know that you pay Nezek Sholem in the case of a shor tam shel Hejot that was Nogeach shor Hegdesh? So the Gemara says, "V'chi tamen." If you'll answer, "Li olam kasav Re'ehu dafka." Certainly, Rav Shimon embraces the drasha of the miut of Re'ehu, and therefore, if a shor shel Hegdesh is no geach, there's no liability. Umiut de hedjer ki nogach de Hegdesh. Hainu time the mechayv is a whole different reason. Mishum dekam maisi le mikal v'chomer de hedjot. He has another logical derivation. Another one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shator Nidreshes Bahem, to whittle down and circumscribe the miut of Re'ehu, only to exclude the case where Hegdesh was Nogeach. But in the case where Hejot was Nogeach Hegdesh, he has a Kal V'chomer to teach you that Yechayev, Uma Hejot, Shenogah Shal Hejot, Chayev, Kinogah the Hegdesh, Lo Kol Shkein de Machayev. What is the logic that underlies this Kal V'chomer? It means, and we're going to have to figure out how the Tanakhama rejects this Kal V'chomer, if I'm Chayev for being Mazik you, and you're a Hedgehog just like am I, how much more so we should be more Chomer, we should be more Machmer in the case where I was Mazik Hegdesh? That's more reason to be Machayev. Again, it could be that the Tanakhama is not impressed by this logic, and he says you're potter in the case of a shor hedjot shenogah shor hegdesh, despite this kal v'chomer. And again, he's only willing to go as far as to say that yechayev chatzi nezek like hedjot, meaning hedjot as a victim are damaged, and hegdesh should be equal. And yet the Tanakhama went a step further and said that in the case of hedjot lehegdesh, there's a ptur in Gansin, you don't even have to pay chatzi nezek. And the Rashb explains, because if the Tanakhama would have accepted the Kal V'chomer, then when the Torah said Re'ehu, that would be completely superfluous, because to exclude Shor Hegdesh, Shenogach Lishel Hejot, that we could have derived from Shor Ish, or from Vahuad Bibolov. But as far as Shor Hejot, Shenogach Lishel Hegdesh, there, Enochinami, he would be Chayev. The Gemara says, now we have a question. Dayo levomen adin lios kenidon. Let's assume that Rav Shimon Manasseh derives the chiyuv of hejot lehegdesh from a kavachom of hejot lehejot. Is malahalan if my shor was nogeach a hejot tam chatzinezek or nami chatzinami chatzinezek? How could you, Rav Shimon Manasseh, establish that if you are nogeach, if your shor hejot is nogeach hegdesh, you pay nezek sholim even on the first occasion? Alomarav omrei shlokish hakol Hayu bichlal nezek shalem. We would assume up front, until the Torah tells me otherwise, and was mechadish the din of shor tam, that every case is nezek shalem. Every shor that's mazik is nezek shalem. Whether it's mazik a shor shel hejod or mazik a shor shel hegdesh, everything is included in the parsha of nezek shalem, because that's the assumption of nezikin. And in the parish of Shor Mu'ad, it says that you pay Nezek Sholem, and there's no Re'ehu over there. Now the Torah comes along and says, Re'ehu. So what do we do with this miut of Re'ehu? Kshepireit l'cha hakosuv Re'ehu gabi tam. In the parash of Tam, the Torah added the word Re'ehu. And that's coming to exclude Nezek Sholem. So the pirut, part of O Torah Re'ehu, right, Kshepireit l'cha hakosuv Re'ehu, the Torah specifies Re'ehu to be Doresh and Miut, and we understand that Miut to be the following: Re'ehu hu, the Tam Meshalim Chatzi Nezek. Then the Torah is saying, Dafk in the case of Re'ehu, do we have this new parasha called Tam that reduces the Tashlumin from Nezek Sholem down to Chatzi Nezek? Michlal de Hegdesh, Hegdesh, we go back to square one. In other words, before this parasha of Shar Tam that revolutionized and broke new ground with a Chatzi Nezek, everything was assumed to be Nezek Sholem. If the Torah in the parasha of Chatzi Nezek of Tam added the word Re'ehu to exclude Hegdesh, then Hegdesh goes back to the original pot, the original assumption, the premise of which is Bein Tam Ubein Muad Mishalem Nezek Sholem, and there should be a Tashlumin of Nezek Sholem. And if you don't want to say that, if you want to say that the Torah is coming to pater a shor shehizik shal hegdesh legamre completely, is nichtov kra lahai Re'ehu gabi muad. It would have been more logical for the Torah to place this miut of Re'ehu in the parsha of shor muad, and that would be a bigger chiddush, that even though muad pays nezek sholem, you still don't have to pay hegdesh a dime. And the very fact that the Torah placed, oddly enough, this miut of Re'ehu here in the parasha of Tam, it's coming to tell you that as far as Hegdesh is concerned, this entire distinction between Tam and Muad is inapplicable. So you pay Nezek Sholem even on the first Negicha of a Shor Shel Hegdesh. Now you could raise one objection. You know, the Gemara is saying, well, why didn't the exclusion, the miut of Re'ehu appear in the parasha of Muad? Maybe the answer to that is that then I would have excluded Hegdesh in the case of Muad, but not in the case of Tam. And the counter-argument of that is the Kal Vachomer, that if the Torah put the exclusion, the miut of Re'ehu in the parasha of Muad, and you put in the case of Muad, then how much more so we would understand, Memela, that you put in the case of Tam. But instead the Torah put that miut in the parasha of Tam to tell us that what it meant by excluding Hegdesh was to say that the distinction between Shor Tam and Shor Muad of Nezek Sholem, of Chatzi Nezek versus Nezek Sholem, does not apply in the case of Shor Shel Hegdesh if the Shor Shel Hegdesh was victimized. Now again, let's keep in mind that a Shor Shel Hegdesh that was Nogeach, a Shor Hedjot is Patur, even though again, it's odd because we're saying that Rav Shimon Manasseh embraced this drasha of Re'ehu, and it's telling you that you could be chayav more in the case of Hegdesh than you would in the case of Hedjot, insofar as if Hegdesh was the victim, you pay Nezek Sholem on the first Negicha. Yet, paradoxically, that same Re'ehu is a ptur of Hegdesh in the case of a Shor Shel Hegdesh and Nogach Shor Shel Hedjot. And the reason for that is, as Rashi explains, because of the Pasuk Shor Ish. And Hegdesh is not considered Ish. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. And Mirtz Hashem, the next Shia, which should be later on today, but I don't know if we'll have time today, that's going to be the Sugya of Shor Shel Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shel Knani.